The unprovoked attack by the terrorist group Hamas on Israel on October 7th, 2023, has unleashed the inner demons in the rest of the world, including in the church. Although many in the alt-right movement correctly, in my opinion, add this to the list of issues and events that the globalist cabal has planned so that war indeed would result, they as secularists, and also much of Christendom, commenting on this topic, totally miss the bigger picture. Throughout every part of the world, we're seeing quote-unquote pro-Palestinian protests and rallies. In reality, there is little difference between their support of the so-called Palestinian people and the Hamas terrorists. When we see these mobs holding banners that proclaim, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, what they're really agreeing to and saying outright, whether they understand it or not, is that Israel has no place as a nation. The intent is to completely replace Israel with a Palestinian state, despite the fact that there's never been such a nation, just as there has never been a Palestinian people. Those concepts are completely fabricated, but the number of people who actually know this fact are few and far between, again, even in the church. The problem is that the Hamas charter, which the Palestinians adhere to, definitively states that its sole purpose is to eradicate Israel and the Jews. The following is part of a statement by MEMRI, which is the Middle East Media Research Institute, spelled M-E-M-R-I, as an acronym, that monitors and analyzes statements and documents from the Muslim world. Quote, "The charter of the Islamic resistance movement Hamas is a religious anti-Semitic document that calls for uncompromising war against the Jews until Judgment Day and rejects ceding even an inch of the land of Palestine. It declares that the only valid way to liberate Palestine is to wage jihad against Israel until achieving either victory or death, and proclaims this to be a religious duty incumbent on every individual Muslim man or woman." So in this charter are the following statements, specifically from the charter, quoting, The Islamic resistance movement is one of the wings of the Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine. The Muslim Brotherhood movement is a global organization and is the largest of the Islamic movements in modern times. That comes from Article 2 in that charter. And then, the Islamic resistance movement is a distinct Palestinian movement that is loyal to Allah, adopts Islam as a way of life, and works to raise the banner of Allah over every inch of Palestine. That's Article 6, and the emphasis there would be mine on over every inch of Palestine. We see that Hamas is a branch of the terrorist group, the Muslim Brotherhood. Additionally, since the specific intent is for Islam to completely overrun all of so-called Palestine, that is the land of Israel, the current nation of Israel has no place in their future plans. Those who support this movement also agree, directly or implicitly, with various Islamic doctrines, among which are the abuse and rape of women, along with subjecting them and children to sex slavery. Why would normal men and women, presumably who aren't Muslims, agree to these tenets? Which shows how trusting people are when told lies about Palestine and Israel. Only when specifically told the truth about Islam and what it really stands for do many reject the lies. And I suggest that this can only result from a concerted effort by Satan and his cohort of demons to deceive many in these final days, and that they aren't told the truth. And why? Because Satan hates God. God's chosen people are the Jews. His promised land, his holy land, is Israel. It's where he put his name. So as to attack God, Satan attacks who and what he loves. Not only are true Christians the focus of Satan in these last days, but Israel is right at the top of his list. Just as Satan raised the banner of anti-Semitism in the days of Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany, he is doing so again. It has already gotten so bad that Jews, wherever they live, that is, in America or abroad, are being warned not to travel and not to go out even in public in some places, in some areas. Jewish students at American universities are told to hide, even hide in attics, a la Anne Frank in Nazi Germany. People seem not to understand the irony. Jew hatred is rampant everywhere, and that includes among professing Christians. I can't speak for the legitimacy of their salvation, but as I've noted in previous commentaries, Mike Adams and Stu Peters, both very prominent voices in the alt-right movement and professed Christians, have both shown their true colors regarding Israel. They aren't pretty. Additionally, many Christian voices have proclaimed their allegiance with the Palestinians over the years, such as Bill and Lynn Hybels of Willow Creek Church, a large evangelical congregation in Chicago's northern suburbs. Pastor Andy Woods, in a recent podcast, echoed this issue about Christians believing lies, framing it as a problem not of Christian Zionism, which is a good thing, but of Christian Palestinianism, which is incredibly skewed against what the Bible actually says. Wood discusses Pastor Chuck Baldwin as a prime example of this garbage heap of lies and innuendo. Baldwin wrote an article that Woods and his co-host discussed titled, "The Palestinian People, Victims of Israeli Genocide, Human Heartlessness, and Evangelical Propaganda." The truth is that the real victim of propaganda is Chuck Baldwin. It would probably really help the man's understanding and relationship with God if he actually read the Bible with Holy Spirit discernment, if he reads the Bible at all. And by the way, in this article by Baldwin, he blames the Scofield Bible for evangelical dispensationalist support for Israel, just like the anti-Semite that I mentioned who was approvingly interviewed by Stu Peters. Seems that Scofield is is part of the demonization now. Perusing Baldwin's website, I see he has an interview with Rick Wiles of True News. Wiles is a longtime Israel hater, pointed out many times in the past by, I think, Jan Markell. He also has, Baldwin, has an interview with Messianic Jew Stephen Ben Nun, who I commented on recently with his attempt to convince people that Genesis 12:3 about God's blessings and curses doesn't apply to Israel, only to Jesus and his followers. Now, even though Ben Nun didn't out and out curse Israel per se, his video raised red flags for me. You can bet that in Baldwin's interviews with these gentlemen, that they aren't discussing how much they love Israel and the Jews. Jim Fletcher is a longtime friend of Israel. He writes weekly in the subscription service Koenig's iView from the White House and often calls out Christian heresy and hypocrisy. Lately, he's discussed various evangelical leaders who are disingenuous at best about their support of Israel, given their left-leaning biases. This is only confirmation of various statements I've seen in perusing Christian statements on this conflict. In other words, it doesn't seem to matter whether someone is secular or Christian these days. There's little understanding or support of Israel among a large number of people. And it will only get worse. Why? Because of the bigger picture. The first aspect of this is the approach of the tribulation. Jews and Israel will eventually be hated by the entire world. We're getting there, aren't we? And I personally believe this will result in the Daniel 9:27 covenant agreement brokered by Antichrist and described in Isaiah 28 verses 14 to 19 as their covenant with death. This results in Antichrist declaring in the third temple in Jerusalem, which is still to be built, that he is God, with the subsequent severe persecution of the Jews. And this current climate is a harbinger of that day. The second aspect of this phenomenon is how it brings preparatory fulfillment of God's prophetic word. In many Old Testament passages, for example, Jeremiah 16, 14 to 15, Jeremiah 23, verse 3 and 7 and 8, Jeremiah 29, verse 14, and Jeremiah 31, 7 to 8, and Isaiah 11, 11, probably among others, God declared how he would gather his people from the four corners of the earth in the last days. And in their coming to Israel, God will deal with the Jewish people by changing their hearts, the hearts of many. And this will occur through the initial step of Ezekiel's war and subsequently during the tribulation with its persecution, whereby the Jewish people cry out to Jesus as their Messiah and Savior. And this process of regathering God's people to their very own land is called Aliyah. It is a necessary and purposeful event directed by God so that he can accomplish all that he has planned in this world and which he foretold via Bible prophecy. In recent years, this movement of Jews back to the Holy Land has increased, with people taking notice. Christians who reject this idea or even disdain it are reaping for themselves a harvest that they won't like. By hating Israel, they in turn are expressing their hatred toward God. That's a dangerous place to be. What should we as Christ followers do in these treacherous days for Israel? First, don't accept the satanic premise that the Jews have no place in Israel because God abandoned them. You can't take on the various arguments about the Palestinian people since there are none to begin with. It's a false premise that isn't even a point of rational discussion. We should pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for God to do what he will with his people and their enemies. Let's put this in God's hands while being on his side in the events currently playing out. How do we do that? By believing God's word, the Bible, about Israel and the Jews. Let us also pray for the salvation of many as a result of this terrible war. Again, on both sides. God loves the Jews and he loves the Arabs. All are his creation. Our hope and prayer should be for God's hand to touch them and change their hearts, that they might turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for the redemption of their eternal souls. Those who neglect to support Israel and her very existence go completely against God's word and his promises. Those who do this are treading in very deep waters. I anticipate Aliyah will gather even more momentum in the coming days, ultimately becoming a flood. God is moving on the hearts of Jews. Sometime soon, sadly, after a period of much distress, their hearts will turn completely to the Lord, and they'll declare Jesus as the one whose visitation they missed the first time he came to them.